Onyango was now almost 50. More and more he thought of quitting his work for the white man and returning to farm the land. He saw, though, that the land surrounding Kindu was crowded and overgrazed, so his mind went back to Alego, the land that his grandfather had abandoned. One day he came to his wives and told us that we should prepare ourselves to leave for Alego. When we arrived in Alego, most of this land that you see now was bush, and life was hard for all of us. But your grandfather had studied modern farming techniques while in Nairobi, and he put his ideas to work. He could make anything grow, and in less than a year he had grown enough crops to sell at market. He smoothed out the earth to make this wide lawn, and cleared the fields where his crops grew high and plentiful. He planted the mango and banana and pawpaw trees that you see today. He even sold most of his cattle because he said that their grazing made the soil poor and caused it to wash away. With this money, he built large huts for Akumu and myself, and a hut of his own. He had brought back a crystal set from England that he displayed on a shelf, and on his gramophone he played strange music late into the night. When my first children, Omar and Zaituni, were born, he bought them cribs and gowns and separate mosquito nets, just as he had for Barak and Sera. In the cooking hut, he built an oven in which he baked bread and cakes like you buy in a store. His neighbors in Alego had never seen such things. At first they were suspicious of him and thought he was foolish, especially when he sold his cattle. But soon they came to respect his generosity, as well as what he taught them about farming and herbal medicines. Even if Onyango had used one of these medicines on Akumu, I don't think he could have made her happy. No matter how much he beat her, she would argue with him. She was also proud and scornful of me, and often refused to help in the household chores. She had a third child, named Alma, like this one sitting here, and as she nursed this new baby, she secretly planned her escape. One night, when Sarah was 12 and Barak was 9, she made her move. She woke up Sarah and said that she was running away to Kindu. She told Sarah that it was too difficult a journey for children to make at night, but said that they should follow her as soon as they were older. Then she disappeared with her baby into the darkness. When Onyango found out what had happened, he was furious. At first, he thought he should let Akumu go. But when he saw that Barak and Sarah were still young, and that even I, with two children of my own, was little more than a girl, he went to Akumu's family in Kindu and asked that she be returned. But the family refused. They had come to hear how harshly Onyango treated Akumu, and in fact had already accepted a dowry for Akumu's remarriage to another man. Together, Akumu and her new husband had left for Tanganyika. There was nothing Onyango could do, so he returned to Alego. He said to himself, "It does not matter," and he told me that I was now the mother of all his children. Neither he nor I knew of Akumu's last visit to Sarah, but Sarah had remembered her mother's instructions, and only a few weeks passed before she woke up Barak in the middle of the night, just as her mother had done to her. She told Barak to be quiet, helped him get dressed, and together they began to walk down the road to Kindu. I still wonder that they both survived. They were gone for almost 2 weeks, walking many miles each day, hiding from those who passed them on the road, sleeping in fields and begging for food. Not far from Kindu they became lost, and a woman finally saw them and took pity on them, for they were filthy and almost starved. The woman took them in and fed them and asked them their names, and when she realized who they were, she sent for your grandfather. And when Onyango came to get them and saw how badly they looked, this is the only time that anyone ever saw him cry. The children never tried to run away again, but I don't think they ever forgot this journey they made. Sarah kept a careful distance from Onyango, and in her heart remained loyal to Akumu, for she was older and perhaps had seen how the old man had treated her mother. I believe she also resented me for taking her mother's place. Barak reacted differently. He could not forgive his abandonment, and acted as if Akumu didn't exist. He told everyone that I was his mother, and although he would send Akumu money when he became a man, to the end of his life he would always act coldly towards her. The strange thing was that in many ways Sarah was most like her father in personality. Strict, hard-working, easy to anger, whereas Barak was wild and stubborn like Akumu. But of course such things one does not see in oneself.